to introduce our speaker today, Jerry. Actually, before I do that, so I should just put up the next presentation. Just to let everybody know. So the next presentation, if people can read that, will be on the 22nd of June, same time, same place, same arrangement with the sandwiches. I'll leave that up there until Jerry starts, just so everyone can take a good note of what's going on. But as I said, I'll get to introduce Jerry. Jerry Ibis is the project manager at the Food and Biofuel Innovation Centre, the FBIC. That's where I'm based as well. And there's a few people in the room which I know have come over as well, so that's good. And Jerry has a PhD in microbiological water purification. He's worked a lot in the water industry and the waste industry. He's also been a management consultant. He's worked in the brewing industry, first for Bass Brewers and Allied Breweries, and a variety of different roles, including a group microbiologist. And he's been at Nottingham for about a year now, and he's mainly been involved in the build of the new building. So everything to do with getting up the new building up and running, all the logistics that are involved in that. So I'll hand over to Jerry now, who's going to talk about the FBIC. One thing I should just say, Jerry will explain in a little bit more detail, but it's going to be a bit different to usual, and I'll let Jerry kind of explain that in more detail.
Okay. Can anybody hear me? I don't know if I'm actually... Everybody hear me? Good? Okay, that's super. I feel like Tom Cruise with all this stuff on. It is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to give quite a short talk and a run through of different aspects of the project. And then we're going to really have a walk over to the building, a walk around the building, and my glamorous assistants over there, Andrea, Louise and Rob, will help guide us around. And then we'll be coming back here for something to eat. So we're going to go for quite a speedy run through. Okay, this is the most exciting slide that you'll see today. But the FBIC project, what I'd like to explain are a number of things about it. First of all, it isn't just the building, and there's been a conception among a lot of people that the FBIC, the Food and Biofuel Innovation Centre, is the building. It's not just the building. So I want to go just touch on the project. I want to talk about the shell, the actual building itself. Then we'll have time for a virtual beer. And then I'll explain why the lunch isn't free, and then we'll quickly walk the site. So just one slide. The FBIC project isn't just a building. It surrounds the building. It involves bioenergy projects. It involves food projects. It involves brewing projects. And all aspects of those, the research, the teaching, and also the business impact that the project is designed to have on the community. And because of that, we've got a number of partners. The University of Nottingham have put a lot of money into it, as has the BBSRC. Sab Miller have built a £3 million brewery, which you'll have a chance just to have a peek at. But also, and we'll come into this later, the ERDF, the European Regional Structural Fund, has put nearly £3 million into it. And we have a lot of things to do to justify that money going into the project. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. So, the building. I like to think the building isn't just a shell. It's somewhere to hold people. But actually, those people are in that to do a variety of tasks. They're there to dream, to have ideas, to relate to each other. And therefore, the building needs to facilitate all those things that are going to go on inside and turn those dreams into reality. But it's quite nice to have a nice-looking shell. And particularly from the university's point of view, it's another thing where there's another aspect where a good site leads to more money coming in, more research grants, etc. So just in terms of the architect's journey, and I've just sort of given an example here, if you took a shell, then the brief, the client's brief, might be to have a weatherproof shell with sea views, or sea glimpses, perhaps. So my friend, who works in the building industry and with a lot of architects, he divides the whole architectural community into two types: blob architects and technical architects. And blob architects are the ones that come in saying, "You want one of those? It's look marvellous," and they come up with the concept. Then all the technical architects are in the back room, going, He wants one of those. How the hell are we going to make that? So they do all the design work. And then at the end of the process, what you hope to get is the reality. It's something which is functional and also, we hope, looks beautiful. So that's a sort of that's the architectural process as I see it in brief. Now, there's not time to go into the whole process because there's a hell of a lot of people being involved in this building, and I know the biosciences building as well. But if we look at what the university actually wanted in order to deliver this project, these were some of the key elements. So first of all, there's a master plan for the university and a master plan for this site. So the first consideration is, how does that building fit in with everything around it? And that's quite key. And then the consideration is, what's going to happen in that site? So we want laboratories, we want support areas, we want a processing area, a brewery, because SAB Miller are putting in money, so there's going to be a brewery in there as well, offices, breakout area, meeting, and a bar, a very small bar. And then also a consideration between the relationships between all the users in that building and the relationship between the partners, because there are a number of partners involved in that building as well, you know, SAB Miller being the biggest one. And then there's a site analysis plan. How does this building fit in exactly in terms of its exact location, you know, with the pond, with the plant sciences building, with the trees on the other side? So all these things come together in the design brief. And then there's another hurdle to cross, which is BRIAM. And BRIAM stands for the Building Research Establishment Management System. So it's actually looking at environmental management of that building. And that covers everything from how waste is taken off site to how heat is controlled in the building to how the building is supported after it's been built. So all these things go into the BRIAM rating. And the university likes its buildings to have the highest qualification we can possibly get. So, for example, the building being built on Jubilee Park, the Environmental Technologies building, will be outstanding, which is the very top. We've actually aimed for excellent, which is the second one down. And there are a whole variety of technical reasons for that. But that BRIAM rating actually puts a lot of constraints on the building of the building as well. So all these things go into the brief. And then you have the concept. So this is actually, you can see by the spiral binding, this is part of the architect's original concept drawing about how it fits in with the environment. So you can see the trees on the left-hand side. You can see the plant sciences building on the right-hand side. You look at they look at the scale, how the building blends into the rest of the site. What's happening with the sun? What happens as the sun moves around the building? All these things go into the concept. That concept then moves on to the design. So how does that design encapsulate the brief and its relationship to the environment? And then we go from design to how the building relates to its environment in terms of materials. So one of the key things for the architects in this project was the agricultural heritage of the site and the kind of materials that are involved. So when you see the site, there's lots of wood, for example, these big laminated beams. And also you can see that the curve of the roof is actually a reflection of agricultural buildings. So you've got the shed on the left-hand side. So all these things coming together to sort of be sympathetic with the environment. And then you bring all those aspects together into the final design of the building, which is this, as you can see, which is pretty close to the real thing. And then from there, you go into the functional design. So what do the users actually need? And those of you who are in that building have been filling out room data sheets where you say, I want two benches, I want a shelf, I want this, that, and the other. And hopefully, budget allowing, that's what the user ends up with. And then I'm just going to flick through these. These are courtesy of Mike, so you recognise he's Mike. Because it just reminds us where we were sort of a year ago. So from concept there to reality. Picture that was taken the other day. Actually, I think you'll agree quite close to what the architect actually desired and what looks like a fabulous building, at least by night. So I want to move on from the building to the brewery and why what's happening in the brewery. So the university, through Kathleen Smart, has got a very good relationship with Sab Miller, and we're currently doing a lot of research for Sab Miller. And I've worked in the brewing industry for a number of years, quite a long time ago, and most big breweries had a pilot brewery. And in that pilot brewery, they would develop products, they would look at processes. They wouldn't sell the beer necessarily from that, but it was a way of tinkering before they went on to do bigger things. And I have to say, in my career, I have actually organised piss-ups in breweries. So that's really why Sab Miller. Sab Miller have taken quite a bold step in saying, we won't have our pilot brewery in one of our big breweries. They actually don't have any breweries in this country, but they're one of the biggest breweries in the world. They actually said, why don't we put our pilot brewery in a centre of academic excellence and actually, you know, contribute to the academic side and involve the academics in actually resolving some of these problems. And one of the biggest problems that breweries have got is the amount of water they use. So, for example, at the moment it takes, when I was brewing, it used to take 10 pints of water to make a pint of beer. Now it takes about 5 pints, and Sab Miller's goal is to take that down to 3.5 pints. But there's a lot of work to go in to actually reduce the amount of water going into the brewing process. And the other thing that they want to do, particularly at this site, is to look at the extending the shelf life of beers as well. So there's two fairly meaty projects that are going to go on here. So they've built a brewery. I'm going to just quickly flick through the concept drawings. So they go from water treatment, every brewery has a water treatment plant, to mashing, to actually making the grist from the grain into the sweet wort liquid that is actually going to turn into beer, to the brew house, where it's all boiled up with hops and sugars and other ingredients. In fact, there aren't thousands of men staring into space. This is just to give it, just in case you were getting your hopes up there. So yeast handling, so growing the yeast to a sufficient volume to enable the fermentation to progress quite quickly. So fermentation and conditioning, actually brewing the beer and conditioning the beer. And then they actually go right through to bright beer packaging. So they will be producing small pack beer in that little brewery. And just a couple of shots. These are the brew house and the fermentation vessels actually just before they've been shipped. They're being made by Briggs of Burton, so they're not coming that far. There's the design shot. And that's what's actually in there at the moment. 10 hectolitres, for those of you who, like me, like to deal in imperial things, is about 1,762 pints. So enough for a reasonable night out. And these shots are quite recent. This is James van der Watt, who's the research brewer. And the stage they're actually going through right now is actually commissioning the plant to start brewing next week. So this is very hot off the press. Okay, so I've talked about the building, I've talked about the brewery. I'd just like to spend a little bit of time telling you what we have to do to justify the expenditure that's gone into the building and the project that surrounds it. So we have ERDF funding of about just under £3 million, and the whole purpose of that European funding is to make different regions of the UK and rest of Europe more competitive. And if you look at what comes from the small and medium-sized enterprise businesses in this country, which are businesses less than 250 employees, you're looking at half of the gross domestic product, half of the value that's produced in this country comes from companies of that size, and they employ just over half of all the employees in this country. So they're a significant sector, and a lot of those businesses are actually 10 people or less. So we hear about the big companies, but actually a lot of the actual work is being done by the small companies. And we've got this money on the basis that we will help those small companies become more competitive. So we have a whole variety of targets. So I have a whole variety of targets to meet. So, for example, we have targets to increase the number of jobs in the region. We have targets to help businesses become more competitive by giving them advice and consultancy and training. We have targets for bringing in more R&D money into the university. And all this is so that we can actually justify the additional money that the European Union put in. And hopefully, at the end of this process, we will have a more competitive region, which has got to be good for everybody. So just slightly technical here, in that we have two lots of money. We have the revenue money, the day-to-day cost money, and we have the capital money, the buildings, the equipment. And for every £100 of capital money we spend, ERDF give us about £23 back. And bearing in mind this project is £10.5 million. And for every £100 of cost money, things like salaries, consumables, etc., we get back £64. So it is really quite significant in the operation of the university. And I'm just going to finish by kind of just giving you my interpretation of how this all works. So we have a whole range of businesses and people. Some people are out there that will help that haven't even thought about having a business yet. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was thinking about developing a business based around low-fat ice cream. Personally, I don't think there's any point in having low-fat ice cream, as you can see. So we have all kinds of people out there, businesses, entrepreneurs, spin-off businesses from the university. And what we do in as part of the project is actually to decide which of those businesses actually we can help in terms of the dimensions of the funding and the qualifications that they need to come through into our project. And then we support those businesses by giving them access to resource. So, for example, we have the food hall has moved. They may want to use some of the equipment in the food hall, for example, to develop a low-fat ice cream. They may want to use some of the very small brewing equipment we have. So there's a whole range of equipment we've got and resources. We've got expertise. We've got training packages that we're developing. So, for example, at the moment, the microbrewing industry is growing at 7% a year, and in this region there are 80 microbrewers producing cask ales, and we're going to support those by training them on how to improve the flavour, how to improve their processes. And we'll be doing that towards the back end of the year. And all this is supported by marketing, by the people we have, by the equipment we have, and by networking opportunities. And what we hope is coming out of that is new research, product development, process development, and business support. And that will help businesses start up, and it will also help improve the competitive position of those businesses. And what we do is to support and administer that process through the FBIC project. And we have to go back to our fund holders and demonstrate that we've done that, and we get audited on the basis of that. And they even audit the size of the logo with rulers that we put on our publicity material. I perhaps better not comment any more on that. And then what I'm hoping we'll also get out of this is legacy work, so that although we're dealing with microbrewers in the region, that we'll have built up a support network to support the other microbrewers, the other food companies, the other bioenergy companies in the UK and beyond. And that will then bring in more additional revenue to the university. So the way we're going to add that impact, and I'm nearly through, you're a bit closer to the lunch than you were at the beginning. So we have nearly 3,000 square metres of research and pilot plants. We have this 10 hectolitre plug-and-play brewery of Sab Miller. It's plug-and-play because they can actually alter all the pipes all around the brewery to do different things with their process. We have a tiny brewery that will actually produce about 2 gallons of beer to do a whole variety of interesting research on. We have the new food hall with pilot-scale food processing equipment, a development kitchen and sensory areas, so companies can come in and they can take their product all the way through processing to cooking to tasting and on the analytical quality control that goes with that. We have a bioenergy plant with pre-treatment and fermentation, and we have laboratory facilities for each area and a whole lot of expertise that goes with that. So I'm drawing to a close now. So what I hope I've done is to tell you that about the FBIC project is more than just a building. I've taken you through a little bit about the design of that building and what it looks like now, the involvement of SAB Miller, and how we intend to impact on small businesses and the need for us to do that to fulfil the obligations we have on a contract with European Regional Structural Fund. So, time for a walk. It's going to be quite a quick walk. We've actually done a number of tours around this building, and it takes about an hour and a half to do a full in-depth tour. So what we're going to do is more of a whiz than the tour, but you will be able to go through areas that you won't be able to go through later on, because at the moment we're not operational. So a few things to say. First of all, we started moving on Monday. We're still unpacking. So it's a bit like moving house. You'll see boxes and things and all kinds of stuff coming out. And then just a few safety things. The fire alarm, should it go off, is a continuous siren. Please follow your guide. Perhaps could you guys stand up just so we can... Thank you. Moment of fame. So please follow one of us out of the building. And I've just done a little bit of a diagram here. To Plant Sciences is next to... The new building, and the assembly area is on the far side of the building, across the road. And that's it. I don't know if we've got time for any questions, or if there are any burning questions. If not, then I think we should. There's probably about getting on for 60 of us, I would guess. So if we can. Sorry? Two tables each. Yeah, that's good. So if we can take it two tables at a time, and then we'll walk out across the building, and we'll go through the building, and then come back for lunch. Okay. Thank you. SAB Miller area.